You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate, where NFL legends live on, with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lasseri. Available on TuneIn and Podbean. Now, back to Chris and Bob.
Just listen.
All right, now back with us and making his fifth appearance on the Kyven Foods guest line is former Steelers Pro Bowl linebacker Greg Lloyd. Let me remind you about Greg's background. He's from Miami, Florida, played his college ball at Fort Valley State in South Georgia, where he was a three-time All-Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference selection, a three-time team defensive MVP, and as a senior, he was the Conference Player of the Year and a first-team Sheridan All-American. He was a sixth-round draft pick by the Steelers in 1987, played in the league from 87 to 98, all in Pittsburgh, except his last season in Carolina. He was selected to five straight Pro Bowls from 1992 to 1996. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Year in 1994. He's a member of the Steelers' all-time team, and we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Greg, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Greg. Gentlemen, thank you for having me. How's everybody?
Oh, fantastic. Great. Thank you, Greg. So, Greg, as you know, I'm a big Steelers fan. I got my Greg Lloyd jersey on right now. I need your help. What's going on with the Steelers defense, and why can't we stop the run anymore?
Oh, man, I can't. I tell you what, I watched some of the game, and like I said, I think you guys heard me say this before. Once I started watching, and they started doing crazy stuff, and it's like, okay, well, this is not going to turn out good. And I have to turn the TV. So I come back and I watch later. I have to watch Sports Center to see if they won or lost. But I just think it's simple right now. You know, I think I talked to Cardinal Lake, you know, about this last game and like, hey, what happened? And he just gave me two simple words. It's just like sloppy play. And, you know, from what I saw, I never saw 92 hit the field. I never saw number 92 get on the field. Every time James Harrison comes into the game, I mean, people have to be concerned with him. And, you know, I know he may be 39 years old, but, you know, the guy, you know, he still makes a difference. And, you know, people are still, you know, watching out for him when he gets on the field. I just don't see what I don't see in this young group of guys. I don't see leadership. I think that, you know, it may be, you know, I'm not there, so it may be. But I don't see that one guy when things are going in disarray, going the other direction, gathering guys and saying, hey, let's get it done. Coaches can do that all they want to. But guess what coaches are when the play starts? Stand on the sideline. So, I think there has to emerge a leader amongst this defense, maybe two, to say, you know, hey, listen, you know, here we are. And I kept watching, you know, even I saw some of the Chicago game. And it's brutal to win in Chicago. You know, I have lost some crazy games in Chicago. And I think one year, the year Singletary was retired, we went in there and it was like we woke up the next day like, what happened? You know, they ripped us a new, you know, tail end. But it's like going in Chicago, I'm watching this and I'm going, you can't let Chicago keep hanging in here. You keep letting Chicago hang in there, they're gonna beat you. And then, of course, that's the outcome of the game. The difference in, you know, the other games, I just can't say. I mean, you know, for defense, I think Pittsburgh is, you know, like I said, I just think that they're not who they were last year. They don't have you know, sometimes defense come out and, you know, they define themselves. We're gonna stop the run. We're gonna be run stoppers. We're gonna be, you know, you're not gonna pass against. I don't think Pittsburgh has an identity yet. You know, as far as that's concerned. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, like you say, you can toss a coin up in the air and go, who's gonna show up? So it's kind of difficult. It's kind of hard to watch. You know, really, but you know, like you say, you bleed black and gold, man. So you want them to win, and when they don't, you go, and when they do, you go, okay, great, you know, kind of thing. So I'm kind of up in arms about it. So I don't know if it's a fix, or if it's a coaching thing, or it's a playing guys out of position thing, or, you know, not, you know, players just not, you know, sometimes it comes down to some players just not good enough. You know, I mean, you know, you can factor that in there. It may be NFL players, but they just may not be good enough, you know, against some of the teams that they're getting, you know, beat by. This game last week was embarrassing. It was totally embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, what's hard to watch is, you know, when you know they're going to run the ball. I mean, everyone knows they're going to run. I mean, you know, when you get down to one of the last drives, you know Jacksonville is just going to run the ball on every play. And they ran the ball on every play, and they kept executing, and they watched all the way down the field. And it's, you know, guys, you know they're going to run the ball. How are you letting them get 10, 12 yards at a clip? Well, it's mind-boggling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing I'm saying. At some point, yeah, you may still lose the game, but at some point, there's some dignity and integrity that you got to have when you walk off of that field and say, you know what, you know, they won the game, but man, we kept sticking them. We hung in there. We had opportunity. I mean, this never happens, and I don't see it. I don't see it in the play. I don't see it in the hurry up on the field, hurry up after the field, hurry up two plays, guys, you know, 3, 4, 5. One of the things that I loved about when we played, when we had Dick LeBeau and Marvin Lewis and Dom Capers, one of the things that they stressed, if one guy made a tackle and he was the only guy making that tackle, that's a problem. That's a problem. If you look around in the league now, when you see great defenses that are playing, you see 3, 4, 5, 6 guys around the play, making the ball, getting their hands on their play. The Steelers aren't doing that. Now, I don't know if that's something that they can't practice. I don't know. I mean, with the rules and things being different, but it's attitude. You know, it's not something you go out and, you know, tell little league guys. It's attitude. And if you ain't got that attitude, man, you can't, you know, like I say, I play like this. When I played for Pittsburgh, if you didn't have my attitude, if you didn't come out and feel my attitude, you're not going to like me, period. And that was the deal. You know, that was the deal. You know, you come out here with this attitude, with a chip on your shoulder, ready to play. We hitting anything that moves that don't have the same color jersey we got on, and we're going to do it to the whistle blows. That's defense. And if you don't have that mentality, if you're not ready to play like that, man, get a ticket and get in the stands. Because that style of football they're playing right now, I mean, for lack of a better word, they can call me out of the office, but it sucks. It hurts to just sit and watch it because it's the same defense we ran almost 20 years ago.
And Greg, when you guys went to the Super Bowl in 95, that season, you guys started out that season 3-4. What did you guys do to regroup and then propel yourself to go on to win 8 games in a row, get in the playoffs? What did you guys do when you were 3-4 that turned things around?
Well, I'll be honest with you. If you call the following year, we should have been in the Super Bowl that year. We lost to San Diego, you know. So we got a whole summer, you know, to sit around and, you know, think about, you know, what took place or what should have took place. But the thing about it is gut check. You call guys in, we have meetings or whatever, but you call guys in, you just, you know, you have these, we had team meetings where coaches weren't allowed, and you hear about this stuff. But then we also had little team socials away from the stadium where, you know, you actually get to know a guy, you know, I mean, and I've stressed this, and, you know, maybe if I'm repeating myself, then I apologize. But sometimes playing with a guy, you still don't get to know the guy, if you know what I mean. I mean, you may work with some people and you say hey to them every day, but you really don't know them because you haven't spent any time with them. And so what we had to do is we had to break those barriers down. And so we had to find a place just for the players to go hang out at, you know, and, you know, sit down and, you know, let's play some cards and we talk about. But what we had to do is we had to find out where my Warriors are, where my players are, who the guys here who really want to not just be on a football team and say I play professional football, but who want to be champions? And that's what we did. And so what we started doing, man, we started holding each other accountable. We started doing it in practice. We would find ourselves for a little bit of, you know, what we call MAs, missed assignment, MEs, a mental error, and things of that nature. Same things we get graded on, you know, in the game. But we would do it ourselves. And that made it even more. When one of your players hold you accountable and say that, hey, man, you didn't do this, you're more apt to want to get it right than when a coach said, because these are the guys that you're out there on the field with. I don't know if they're doing it. I don't know if that's something they need to do. But again, you know, you got a lot of young guys that are out there on this defense right now, you know, and from what I'm seeing, and I don't, like I said, I don't know, but from what I'm seeing, I heard you guys talking about Antonio, you know, Brown. He's being this me guy, want to get the ball and stuff like that. But then that's typical wide receiver. You know, we accept that. But on defense, you can't be selfish. There's nothing to be selfish about. Hey, listen, man, if you make the tackle here, I'll come hold him up till I get there. You know, if I make the tackle, I'm going to hold him up till you get there. There's nothing about being selfish. Who cares? You know, you just want to make the play. We want to get off the field in 3 and be done. I don't see it happen. I don't see the urgency. I don't see, hey, you know, football, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers style of football where we're going to hit you in your mouth. We're going to stop the run. We're going to hit you in your mouth. We're going to make you one-dimensional, and then here we come. Stop it. It hasn't happened. So maybe that's something that they have to do. Maybe that's something they have to go in a dark room or, you know, out on the field somewhere by themselves and get done. But right now, I mean, it is embarrassing to watch both sides of the ball for Pittsburgh.
Bob, questions for Greg?
Greg, I want to talk about your entrance into the pro game. And, you know, not that you needed any more incentive because of the pride and the attitude you brought into the game. But being a sixth round draft pick, it blows my mind that there could have been 150 players better than you. Did you ever, Greg, use that as an incentive, or it was just the way it is at Fort Valley State, probably not being what you would call a football factory?
Well, not. I'm be honest. I'm gonna ask you a question like this. Did I use it as a chip on my shoulder? Absolutely. Reason why? All the accolades that you guys said before I came on there, you can go back and look at that draft and look at all the guys who got drafted before me as a linebacker. None had it. But what they did have, they had Alabama, they had Clemson, they had all that. But here's the deal. We're all going, it's like we're all getting drafted and going to the same Army. We're all going to the same Army. We're all going to be shooting the same M16. We're all going to be wearing the same color green. So what's going to make this guy different than me? If I'm shooting in mine all get in the hole and all his get, you know, in the bullseye and all mine gets in the bullseye, what's the difference of where we come from? That actually is what our skill is. And so, yeah, it makes a difference. But what you have to do to kind of dispel that myth that, you know, black college football is not this and not that is that you got to go out and you got to play. You got to play. You can't go out there and you know, and be, you know, it's almost, you know, in the community that I grew up in, it was almost, you got to make the A. You can't make the B, you got to make the A. When the other kid's making the B, you got to make the A. And, you know, I never understood why. You know, why? But then as I got older, I kind of, you know, I got it. So when I come into the league, you know, I'm coming in, you know, against guys that, you know, Pitt, Penn State, you know, Colorado, you name them. I mean, they're all the big, but I'm looking around and I'm watching and I'm going, these guys aren't that very good. I mean, you know, what are they? What did these people that were writing this stuff, what did they see that I'm standing right next to this guy don't see? So, you know, right away you start comparing yourself. Then when the pads go on, you go, oh, he is garbage. I can use that word. I'm not calling anybody's name. But that was my term in my head. I was going, he's garbage. So now that mentality got to go, oh, I'm going to make him quit. I'm going to make him quit today. I'm going to show them just all this hype they got about this guy. I'm going to make him quit. So that was my mentality, and I carried that mentality for 12 seasons. And it was like every time, you know, we got a guy, they got, oh, we got this running back. Oh, this guy, he's this. Oh, they got this big tackle you're going to be going in. And it's like, okay, I read up on watch film, and I'm going, I don't see what they keep saying. I know coaches are trying to, you know, play mind games with us, but I'm going, I don't see what they're saying, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, every once and again, you run into an Anthony Munoz. Every once and again, you know, you run into a Jonathan Ogden. You know, but for the most of it, it's like these guys are not that good. So for me, I took it personal, and it was like I'm gonna practice harder. I'm gonna stay after practice. You know, I'm gonna be out there longer. I'm gonna work harder. I'm gonna outwork everybody on my team. So I become the standard, and it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. When you want to do something, it's not that hard. You got to become the standard. You can't sit back. Sometimes there's a time to follow. But there's also a time to lead. You know, great leaders were once great followers. So I had to watch guys like Robin Cole and Mike Merriweather, you know, and Brian Hinkle, watch how they practiced and things they did. But then I had to one-up them now. You know, here's what they're doing, but I got to do something different to stay around. So that was it for me. And I just carried that over next year. I mean, hey, listen, they're drafting guys in my position, first-round draft choice next year, and guys are calling me, asking me, girl, what you think? I'm like, hey, listen, he's going to have to be a heck of a player if he's going to take my spot. Cause see, I know what I'm doing right now. It's that stuff that I'm doing that you can't see, not that stuff that's happening out there on the practice field in front of the camera. It's that stuff that I'm doing that you can't see what's going to propel me to the next level. And these guys aren't doing that. You know, that's on them. So that's how I carry myself. And, you know, and so I knew from day one, I'm giving you everything in my tank. So you're going to have to tell me in practice, Greg, slow down. Greg, those are our players. Greg, quit hitting our player. Greg, and I'm going to keep doing that until you take me out of practice. Now, I've had days out there, numerous days in practice where they took me out of practice. Matter of fact, not just me. After a while, they took a whole defense. Took a whole defense out of practice. Had to put second defense in there because we ticked off at the offense for stuff they had did the previous week. So that was kind of the mentality we had. And it just carried right on over into the game, you know. But you had to be – you got to be that kind of – that person, and when it's all said and done, when you walk away from the field, you got to be, hey man, how's it going? And they go, that's not the same guy as playing football. Yeah, that's how it's got to be. You got to wear that hat. So that's what makes us kind of crazy in a sense and mysterious and kind of like don't know what you're going to get, you know, kind of thing. But hey, listen, play football on Sunday. We play practice during the week. But listen, man, we all, you know, we're fathers, we're husbands, we're dads, we're, you know, we're brothers, we're sisters, we're deacons in the church, we're pastors, you know, all that stuff happens. But Sunday, I'm giving you everything I got in my tank, you know, win or lose. And that's how you have to be. So that's how I took it. And so, you know, from that point on, hopefully it opened a lot of doors to guys coming behind me that came from schools like that. And that's how, you know, that's what I loved about it, man. I mean, and I've seen it happen, but, you know, wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't want to go to any other college. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it twice on Sundays, man. Enjoyed it.
And that leads me to my next question, Greg. I mean, with all the intensity and physicality you guys brought to the table every week, and I ask this often to all our guests, that leads me to how you spent your off seasons, and you're talking about outworking the opponent and everything. You probably had to give your time, your body some time off, but what were your off seasons like physically?
Well, I'll put it like this. Coming from, like, my first 2 years, you know, I hurt my knee. I was out. I shouldn't even be playing football. But, you know, just by my faith and just the grace of God, you know, he allowed me to play, you know, 11 seasons. I mean, you know, 12 seasons of football, you know. I actually, if you think about it, really, it's only 10 because the first two seasons I didn't even play. But when you think about that, man, I decided that I got into martial arts. So when I start going to Pro Bowl, let's see, come out of Pro Bowl in February. And the end of February, we would, you know, kids and I would go up to you know, Disney World or something like that. Just, you know, some family time. But, I mean, I'm talking 2 weeks later, you know, you started running. But, see, I was in martial arts. So I was doing martial arts every day. I wasn't just doing, you know, just resting. You know, if I was stretching or hitting the bag or, you know, even doing forms. You know, you can do forms so strong that you can get tired. So that's what I was doing. And so, you know, on my strong days, I would go do my workout that I had, do football. Then I would go, you know, do martial arts and probably even play basketball and then come back and still do, another workout. But again, you know, that those were things that I did that I knew I had to do to make me better, you know, as opposed to here's what the regimen is, the coach gave us, and I'm just going to do that. You know, it's kind of like the kid that, you know, capable of making the A, but he's only going to make the C because, you know, that's just enough to get him by, just enough to keep my scholarship. Never that guy. You can never be that guy. I don't even want to play with guys like that. I don't even want to be associated with guys like that today. But the thing about it is that you have to be smarter. And, you know, like you hear guys say, I'm going to work smart and I'm not going to work hard. But in football, man, you got to be able to do both. You got to do that hard grinding stuff. But when the season starts, that's when the smarts come in. You got to do smart stuff. You got to play smart. Still got to do keep body in shape. But that's what I did. I don't think that I really took a month off or some time off. It was always something. It was always something physical. Either I'm getting kicked or I'm kicking somebody. Or I'm lifting some weights or weights are kicking my rear end. I'm out running the golf course, running the hills on the golf course, running up and down the road, running, putting all black stuff on here in Georgia at 12 o'clock in summertime and running 2.5 miles, you know, around it. You know, a lot of probably people look at me like I'm crazy. You know, you got to make that sacrifice. So when you now go out to training camp and it's humid out there and everybody's looking and cramping and stuff and you're laughing and you're going, yep, they didn't do what I did. You know, but you encourage them, you know, and you can tell guys what you do. You can tell guys, hey, here's what I do in the off season. But I give you that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. They got to be willing to do it. So if you're not willing to do what I do, then you're not going to have what I have later on. And that's the deal. I wanted to be the best that ever came through Pittsburgh. I knew about the Lamberts. I knew about the Hammers. I knew, but I wanted to set another standard, you know. And that was just me. I mean, like you say, and I think the guys around me understood that. And I think, again, if you talk to most of my teammates, they'll tell you, Greg going to do two things to you. He's going to either tick you off or he's going to motivate you. That was me. You know, I call guys. If you're not doing your job, I'm going to call you out because, you know, you're going to get me hurt or you're going to get the team hurt. And you don't see enough of that anymore. I mean, there's a way to do it. There's a type of way to do it. Everybody's not the same. Everybody's not, you know, you can't get every guy's face and screaming and things of that nature. Some guys, you got to come on and say, hey, man, you're better than that. I seen you. You better than that, man. You didn't give me everything you got there. Or some guys, you got to get to them. Some guys, you got to get in there. Like, you do that one more time. One more time. And you go, me and you go, you're going to see me in the locker room, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, so you got to know how to do that. But see, I don't think that the league now has that. I don't even think that you can do that. You know, it may be hazing or whatever it is. But, hey, listen, man, these are my teammates. This is my house. And this is, you know, you got to take it like this. This is my team. This is my brothers. And this is my family for 6 months. And, hey, whatever goes on in here, man, we got to make it right. You know, if this thing ain't right, we got to find a way to make it right. If it means that we got to knuckle up, we'll knuckle up. If it means that we got to get out here and do some spitting and grinding, we'll do that. But whatever we got to do to get this thing right, let's get it right. And what happens here? Stays right here. Nobody needs to know what happened. All they need to know is that enjoy the win. That's all they need to know, you know. And I don't know if there's enough people doing that. Those are the kind of things that we did.
Greg, before we let you go, we know you're not a social media guy. But, you know, is there some place that are you going to be somewhere where, you know, our listeners and people around the city of Atlanta can see you, you know, talk to you? Are you going to be anywhere?
Next November, I think we've got an NFL alumni. We have an alumni golf tournament in Lake Lanier. I think it's November the 6th. So, you know, people come on out. We got a bunch of celebrities, a bunch of old retired guys. I'm one of the old retired guys now. So a bunch of the older retired guys, when I say older, I'm not talking to myself, but it's a bunch of the older retired guys that are, you know, going to be out there and things of that nature. But, you know, I'm low-key, man. Right now, I'm hunting. I'm supposed to be on the road on a hunting trip right now. And I told my wife, I said, I got that show tonight. I'm not going to leave till the morning, you know, because I, you know, but I'm a hunter, man. I kind of keep to myself. And, you know, I do a lot of hunting trips and things of that nature. And I just have a beautiful wife who allows me to get out there, you know, and do that. And, you know, like I said, I think you guys talk about social media. I'm just going to say that my wife and I are on the board, and I hear, you know, Colin say this earlier. We're on the board for a charity here in Atlanta called Crosswalks Ministries and Outreach Program. And basically, you're taking a bunch of kids in Henry County who have, you know, let's say they missed the mark and things of that nature, and they've had, you know, got a background, got a record. And basically, the courts have basically sentenced them to us for at least 3 years. And we're turning kids' lives around. You know, that's what we're doing, you know. And we're doing it, you know, not only through, you know, through the Word of God, but also just through just being kind. You know, you'd be amazed at some kids who have never actually sat down and had a meal at a kitchen table. Kids will tell you that they never had a, you know, sat down at a dinner table and, you know, and had a, you know, lunch, dinner, or anything as a family. So that's what we're doing, you know, instilling that in these kids and letting them know that, you know, kind of insert them back into society, letting them know that, you know, God has a bigger plan for them and things of that nature. So that's what we do, and that's what we're doing. So, you know, if you guys can, you know, put that out there, you know, that's what it is. But like I said, I'm not a whatever they call it. I can even say Instagrammer or whatever that stuff is. I don't do it. My daughters and them, they think that I'm the old Apple computer, you know. I'm that old that old Apple computer, man. So I'm like, I still write stuff down. I still write stuff down and things of that nature. But you know, it works for me. But you know, at the end of the day, like you say, we're just trying to make everybody around us better. Every person that we come in touch with, we just hope that we can impute something in their lives that's good, that's positive, and that's what we're doing.
That's great stuff, Greg. And, you know, so many more things we want to get into with you and get your insights on. I hope you'll come back again soon. We always have such a great time when you're a part of the show.
Man.
Thanks for
Big
being
time.
Here tonight.
Big time. And you guys didn't ask me about this thing, but I'm going to tell you like this. Kansas City has a thing about playing Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know if you recall last year. You recall last year when Kansas City came to Pittsburgh, what the deal was?
Right.
Look it up. Look it up after the show's over with. Look it up. It was Kevin Green. I gave Kevin Green Hall of Fame ring at that game. I think it was a Monday night game. It was a blowout. So Pittsburgh going there, Kansas City has a chance to get revenge, but I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
I hope
think
you're
Pittsburgh
right.
Has Kansas City's number. Yeah. So I'm going to say that so that you can enjoy the rest of your week and not worry about Ben Roethlisberger and all those guys. And if I have to fly to Pittsburgh tomorrow to whisper in his ear, you know, we'll get it done.
I appreciate it. I hope you will, Greg. We could use the help.
I know.
Greg, take care.
Right.
Thanks again for being a part of the show. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Be well,
all right,
Greg.
Gentlemen. You guys take care, man. Be blessed. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. That's former Steelers Pro Bowl linebacker Greg Lloyd. I love the intensity that Greg still has, Bob. I'm ready to go hit somebody for crying out loud. You know, listening to how motivational Greg is. I love that guy.
I'll just leave it at this. I want him on my team. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. I want him back on my team.